here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Once you convince your psyche that, like, the worst is the best way and the best way is a bonus, life becomes, like, up for you. See, when I go into any situation, I always assume or predict the worst. Like, and I even ask, even when I'm making business investments, I'm like, look, give me the worst case numbers that I'm going to get back in return. I don't want to know what I can make. I want to know what's the lowest number you think this can do. Hey, the worst case, man, I give you $500. Say less. So if you only can give me $500 the month for this woo-woo-woo, anything above $500 for me, I'm going to ride it out. I just want my number that you actually signed to. So ground level, anything else is a bonus. It's a bonus for me.
All right, welcome to the Rich and Unemployed Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Dupaton, a.k.a. Finesse. And this is Manhood Mondays. Before we get started, make sure you guys check out the Patreon for all the exclusive content and also the merch, www.richandunemployed.net. And also, this episode is brought to you by...
We have to do an emergency D-section.
How did this happen in the first place?
Okay. I took this.
Three.
I can organically take care of it.
What about her?
I'm gonna get some sheets and some
sheets. Skills.
Yes, and bring a bottle
in the
mall.
In the future, okay. Sir, one bottle.
She had to find herself enough.
One bottle.
Oh. Here it is.
Come on, you baby. Can?
I got you.
Oh, yeah.
Your third leg, man. Make sure you guys slacking in the bedroom. Go ahead and get that. Hey, man, I got a very special guest today, man. I know I say this shit all the time, but, bro, I know this guy personally, bro. And go ahead and introduce yourself, my nigga.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy, Robbie True, in the building.
That's it. Man, that nigga like a legend, bro. You can't just short. You know?
I mean, you know, the one and only.
He don't like to brag on himself, man. So,
all that, man.
Homie, tell me where you from.
Chicago, Illinois. Born and raised. South side in the east side. Shout out to Rack.
What made you move to Atlanta, bro?
In real life? I was just getting in trouble in Chicago.
Yeah.
Trying to find something new. Yeah, things went down in Chicago. A lot of little stuff was going on. So I'm like, you know what? It's time to find some new air.
Yeah, yeah.
Shot over to Atlanta. I drove here, bro.
Yeah.
I drove here,
with
bro. My partner Tom Tom and two prostitutes. In a Lexus, a E350.
But where the prostitutes come from, and why?
We ain't really have a lot of bread. Some had to sell.
Oh.
We was staying at the Lofts downtown.
How long ago this was?
This is in 2015, going into 16.
Okay.
Yep.
And did Atlanta embrace you?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't pop out outside because I knew what Atlanta was giving because I had a couple of people out here already, like a couple of partners.
Yeah.
That I was politicking with in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of already knew, like, when you come to the A, you got to really, really, really
you gotta come with it.
But this in 15, that's when Atlanta was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I came out here. I had a few dollars. I went super up. Probably had like 40, 50,000 or some shit. And I'm like, I know I can't go out here and buy a car, buy a crib, do what I want to do and maintain without knowing nobody. So I just stacked. My boy came. We had two shorties with us. We stayed at the loft for maybe like 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I was just paying for the rooms. We was running it up. They was doing their 1-2. I was doing my 1-2. Then I hit a play on some shit for like 70, 80,000. Then it was like, all right, let's transfer location. So I left there. I stayed in the Marriott Marquis for 4 months straight. I was living in hotels when I first got here. I stayed in the Marriott Marquis for 4 months. I started getting the gold rewards because I was staying in the suite for so long. I was just paying because I was making money every day, just bouncing around with him and catching little plays, whatever the case is. I did that for like 4 months. And then I met a couple of little chicks because I was I was going to Saks and I was going to Phipps, which was Jeffries at first. And I was going to Lennox all the time, just spending money every day, just buying clothes, Margiela, Balenciaga Arenas, all type of little products, just putting on Christian Louboutin, just buying shit.
For what?
I'm going to be honest with you, because I was making a lot of bread now at this point. But then two, it was like, I knew that I can bag more relationships in the mall where the money was. So I was trying to network. I had money. Least 80 to 100,000 at this time. So I'm like, shit, I'm finna just go to the mall. Now I start meeting up with all the sales reps. Like, what you do? I'm just like, shit, you know, I'm just trying to do music. I'm out here trying to figure it out. Like, I'm cool. I'm hustling. But I just was buying clothes and shoes, putting it on, taking pictures. In the hotel room, though. I'd take pictures in the hotel. I'd be chilling by the bed, pile of money, Margiela new boxes stacked up and shit, just trying to catch, if that makes sense, like more relationships.
Yeah.
So then shit, it started working.
You come out here with no game plan. Just like, fuck, I'm tired of getting in Chicago. This shit ain't.
I came out here with no game plan. In real life, no game plan.
And then at that point, like as you, when you start making the money, like, is it a plan now? Like,
nope, it still wasn't no plan. It was like, shit, I got a few dollars. What I'm gonna do? I end up meeting an amazing girl. Shout out Zoe. If you watching this, you probably gonna be watching this. Shout out Zoe. She was a white girl. She from the Bay, whatever the case is. Became one of my best friends, my dog. I made some money. We started talking and mingling, kicking it, whatever the case is. She ended up like, yo, you can stay here. You ain't gotta be paying that money shit at the hotel. You can stay here for a couple of months. She like, until you get it all the way right. But she ain't know I already had like a couple of thousands put up. But yeah. I'm like, I was still tucking, saving. So I was still out here hustling. Then she gave me her car. She had a brand new BMW. I was driving that BMW every day. Clutch. She was going to work. You know how we do. We niggas. We get up under some. We figure that shit out. I figured it out. Then I got enough bread where I was like, you know what? I appreciate you for doing all this. Like, look, shawty, you my dog for life. Like, I got to, you know, branch off and get my own spot because, you know, I'm trying to do me.
Yeah.
She like, bet I broke off a few dollars. Met some motherfucking fake brokers in Atlanta. You know how that shit go. 3 month rent type niggas. Money was talking at that time. So I was like, shit, fuck it. I went and got into a condo myself. And then just so happily, right around the time I got my condo, shout out my boy Matt 2, MVP of Atlanta, but it was MVP Miami at this point. He was coming down just trying to build his brand of Atlanta. He like, yo, I got these rental cars. I got Range Rovers, I got Porsches, I got Ferraris. This one, he had a small fleet. I'm like, shit, man, give me that Range Rover. How much that Range Rover? He like, man, it's $350 a day. In my mind, that wasn't nothing
because
I was paying $350 a day at the Marquis. So I'm like, shit, hell yeah, let me see this bitch. So now I'm pulling up the Lennox. I'm doing my 1-2. I'm still pulling up the Lennox.
You spending like 10 bands a month on the wheel.
I was going crazy. I spent more than that. So what happened was after I got out the Range Rover, I had this Ferrari keychain, you know what I'm saying, that I used to wear all the time to signify my shit because I used to take pictures with a lot of money that I did have back then, like 20s and 10s and 100s, whatever I had. And people used to take my pictures and use me as scam pictures. They was blowing me up, though. I was slick in the streets, too, doing what I was doing. But they was making my face hot, though, I didn't like that. So what I started doing was I started taking pictures with my key, my Ferrari chain, next to all my shit. Therefore, I can trademark, like, this Ferrari's page, this Ferrari. Once I did that, my partner was like, man, so Matt seen my keys, like, yo, you got that Ferrari key on your neck? He's like, look, I got one. He had a real one. Like, damn, this bitch hard. Real jewelry, a real key, but it was diamond out. I'm like, yo, this shit hard. He's like, man, you calling yourself Ferrari, man, you out here moving, you got the fast life you living, you gotta have a Ferrari. I'm like, you got one? He's like, yeah, we got one. I'm like, how much? He's like, man, $850 a day. I'm like, I need it. Bro, I was in that car. There's no bullshit. I was in that car for like 3 months.
Damn,
if you on here and you see this when we post this, when this drop, I want you to stamp that. Think I spent like 90,000, I think, for real. But that Ferrari brought me everything.
Listen,
I needed.
A nigga listening to that, they might think that was a dumb play.
But it wasn't.
You don't know like what type of people you're going to attract. You know what I'm saying? What type of relationships you can build just off of that.
Motherfucker young, 21. in a Ferrari around here acting crazy, riding around like a Chicago nigga, hat bang, pistol on me, Ferrari, doing donuts, money in my pocket, no bank account, just.
How old are you now?
I'm 30.
What would you say would be the difference between a 21-year-old Rari and 30-year-old Rari?
Discipline and being able to think through the situation and being able to see a situation play out before it can actually play out.
That shit come with age.
That come with age. That come with experience of doing shit. Knowing that, you know what, I could really do this, but I ain't gonna do this because I know how this gonna play out. And then, I'm from Chicago, so a lot of things that we think play out, we think the furthest play out. So a lot of times, and I learned this even about Atlanta, like, your play out and my play out be two different playouts. We don't know no other play out, but, you know what I'm saying? We don't really know no other play out. This the last, you gonna go to the end, I'm gonna go to the end, but your end may be like, all right, we done fought a billion times. My end be like, nah, bro, this ain't the end. Like, it's only one real end. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we think. So before, I just felt like the 21-year-old me and the 30-year-old me now is more like, nah, I'm gonna take my time, I'm gonna see shit through. That ain't really what that is. I'm gonna take my time. I got people around me too that kind of help me. Cause I go in my little ways. I go back into my Chicago ways here and that sometimes when I get to drinking or I get to just being solo and I get to seeing how much people don't really fuck with certain people and it's politics. It's just, you know how the industry is, you know what I'm saying?
You say your old Chicago ways, what you mean by that?
My old Chicago ways?
Yeah. You say you get to drinking, like you start thinking like your old
I just think that everybody from Chicago that really come from Chicago, the heart of Chicago, we got like this cloud above our heart outside of just our element. Like we got this cloud and it's like it's real evil because we come from a survival tactic mindset. Like we come from like basically being in a fucking military or the army. Like everything is not be eaten. It's like eat. So like a motherfucker won't even be doing unto me. And my hunger and appetite just make me want to. I'm being real.
Nah, I hear you though.
I'm being real.
Yeah.
Like my hunger, my appetite just be like, and I don't even know what sparks that. It just spark it like, you know what? Like, this is funny. I don't want to throw the subject off. Me and bro driving today, me and my partner Dre, we driving today up the street. We laughing and kicking it. And we just be playing. But you know, sometimes I get to tweaking. We driving and I swerved hard right. And I'm going fast into a car, and I turned on. I'm like, "See what happened?" He was like, "Yo, bro, what the fuck wrong with you?" I'm like, "I don't know, gang. That's just how my mind set. I feel like every Chicago person, not just Chicago though. Like, I know New York niggas like that, Miami niggas like that, Atlanta niggas like that too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you just trauma, bro. It be trauma. You be going through shit." Certain shit you gotta let out. That's why I got into boxing and shit too though. You know what I'm saying? But the old Chicago me, man.
At this stage of your life, are you willing to like take more risks? No, take less risks. Like when it come to just like shit. You know what I mean? Like, cause you gotta think nowadays, like when it just come to anything. Cause one decision could catapult something else, like, oh, I see a nigga, I get to argue with this nigga. Or a nigga you just had beef with, like some shit just don't matter no more.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like that's me now being able to see something through. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not the toughest man in America at all, not far from. And again, paranoia save your life. You know what I'm saying? So like how I look at it is like, look, you sticking your chest out, bro. You just never know a nigga background, bro, at all. So I don't really try to forsake it overly. I don't want to be the gangster nigga, bro. I don't want to be the overly tough guy, bro. I just be like, look, bro, like, you just better be able to think. Like, know that art of war comes with mental first. So I don't really, when the guy or a person is doing all that rah, 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 or da, 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 in my brain, you're already defeated. So, like, I know how to tactically defeat you without having to physically defeat you. So I just think, again, it come with experience and it come with time and being able to think things through before you get yourself into that. So yeah, I don't take risks when it come to like some physical altercations with people, but when it come to like investments or like what I want to see something through. Like, let's say I got a vision. Mm-hmm. I don't mind taking a risk because I'm a visionary. Whatever I see, I be wanting to invest into. So I don't mind taking like financial risks. I don't mind taking like a jump with trust a little bit. Mm-hmm. But anything else, nah.
Trust, like trust people?
So I don't really trust first. I don't really trust first, but like I know I can, again, I'm so experienced, bro, that I can body language, just alone your demeanor, your character. I can I'm like almost like a psychologist.
You can read it. You can read a nigga.
Yeah, you can off just the appearance, mm-hmm. the delivery, the mm-hmm. eye contact, the mm-hmm. shoes, the watch you decided to wear, the way you have your hair, mm-hmm. the insecurities you may be from this, like. It's a study. You mm-hmm. have to constantly just study, 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 study. And the more people you know and be around, the more you can kind of, everybody fits in a category. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got those some that don't really fit, but then you have the majority of the world fit in categories. Mm-hmm. So once you learn the category of a person, you can kind of pinpoint where they're going or how they going to look mm-hmm. at certain shit. Like, oh yeah, you this type of nigga. Mm-hmm. So it just make it easy to bounce around.
Nah, you know some shit.
Yeah.
Going back to the 33 Strategies of War, I didn't read the whole book, but I read, you said Art of War.
Yeah.
I was talking about 33 Strategies of War. I had to learn over time, like, I can't react off of emotion. I used to fuck up like that. I used to goddamn get locked up. I used to just be in the bullshit just because I'd be mad in the situation and then I can't think.
Impulsively.
Impulsively.
I call it impulsive. Damn, I just told somebody this today. I'm like, it's impulsive emotions. You have mm-hmm. impulsive emotions where your brain just completely shuts down and now your heart is moving through your physical mm-hmm. instead of your brain being able to react. Mm-hmm. Like your brain control your nervous system. Now your heart is actually controlling your nervous mm-hmm. system. So it's emotional, impulsive decisions.
I had to learn how to breathe. Like breathe through situations. Like just take one deep breath and that shit can really just change the whole outlook on the whole situation. Yeah. And now it's like I took out the emotion. Now let me make a decision based off of fucking mental instead of emotion.
Yeah.
And while I was locked up, bro, I done met so many niggas just like, bro, I'm locked up in here for a bitch. I had to goddamn.
Oh yeah.
You feel me? And that's from emotion. You know what I mean?
You don't realize that though.
Hell nah. A bitch can get really under your skin and you might have to. Or whatever the fuck it might be. You know what I mean? Like, when niggas fuck up at, we can't think under pressure. And just by breathing, though, like, I learned just breathing, like.
What's funny, bro? I feel like I'm best under pressure. I think my best under pressure. I like when people doubt me. I like when.
For sure. That type of pressure.
That once you turn your psyche to, like, almost like a reverse osmosis when it comes to wireless. You're like,
then you went to college.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But like once you convince your psyche that like the worst is the best way and the best way is a bonus, life becomes like up for you. See, when I go into any situation, I always assume or predict the worst. Like, and I even ask, even when I'm making business investments, I'm like, look, give me the worst case numbers that I'm gonna get back in mm-hmm. return. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know what I can make. I want to know what's the lowest number you think mm-hmm. this can do?
Because if a nigga tell you the highest, that's all you're going to think about. That's all you're thinking about. And if you take anything less than that, it's like a loss.
So guess what I tell a nigga every time? Hey, look, I'm putting $20,000, $50,000 over here, whatever I'm doing, whatever you telling me you're going to give me this amount a month. Hey, look, tell me the worst case possible. Mm-hmm. Hey, the worst case, man, I can give you $500. Say less. Mm-hmm. So if you only can give me $500 the month for this woo-woo-woo, anything above $500 for me, mm-hmm. I'm going to ride it out. I just want my number that you actually signed to. Mm-hmm. So I always go out worst case scenario. With anything I do, though, I don't expect shit to be peaches and cream, never. Mm-hmm. Anything ground level, anything else is a bonus. It's a bonus for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, bro.
What about, what you investing in, like?
Man.
What you into?
I don't even want to get too deep into my investments, bro. I got a cool portfolio, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. But recently, if I go into my brand investments, it'd be like I'm investing into Class A 1111. Shout out my boy Cassius with the tequila, whatever the case may be. Shout out Adam. Shout out everybody with that. I do my own cologne, of course. I got my own fragrance line that I put my money behind. I'm investing into real estate. I got trucking with my partner. I got some little partial rental joints that I do when it comes to cars. I got ATMs with my other partner. Shout out ATM Together, Paul Alex. I just locked in with them. Of course, I own Yo Wings with my partners and my people. We just went viral. We did 27 million views, a million likes, a million shares on a reel that we didn't even think was going to go crazy. And it blew up the movie theater shit. That was our company. So we building that. We working on our second location. Like money just in a million one places. We got some shit coming out with fashion. I got my boy starting his hat line. It's just a bunch, bro. We just got our hands in everything. We like octopuses. Like we just touching everything.
When it comes to like, because I heard you mention a couple people's other companies. Like when it comes to like people coming to you like for investments, because when they look at you, not just your homies, but just fam, anybody. You know what I'm saying? When they, when you that the top nigga in your gang, your family, or whatever, you like the man to go to. Hey, bro, I got this idea, my nigga.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, I want to start this motherfucking podcast, bro. Like, fuck with me. What are you doing in them situations?
The old me would be like, all right, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do that. The new me is like, you start first.
I'm trying to tell you, boy.
The old me like, I'm gonna go with you. We gonna start at zero together.
Yeah,
the new me like, I'm gonna meet you at 50. All you gotta do is get 50% done.
What changed the mentality?
Bad moves, bad decisions, doing business with family, knowing that you can't touch them, knowing you can't do certain shit, knowing that you can't maneuver a certain way. Like just completely just moving impulsively off emotions. Now your pockets, people don't realize that your money is connected to your energy at all times. And the money creates its own emotion through the person who's giving it out. So anytime I give out money now or I try to invest into something, I always try to have good energy before I pass the money off. Like I don't have a motive of trying to get rich from it. I don't have a motive of trying to, I literally will give my partner the money and not expect the money to come back off just good energy. Like, look, I'm doing this really out the kindness of my heart, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be mad if you didn't stand up to your bargain, because at this point I'm looking at you like it's principle, it's a man thing. So I'm not mad at you about the money not coming back. I'm mad at you about how you didn't stand on your own principle. You know what I'm saying? But now I don't even do that. It's like, yo, I'm gonna meet you, because if we're going into business, you got to bring 50% anyway.
What you bringing to the table? Okay, I got the bread.
So watch this. You say you need the money to start it. Okay, cool. You go find you some paper real quick and you get where you going, and I'm going to take it to the next level. I'm not starting off from scratch. This not, unless you my real dog. And in my mind, I would have gave you $1,000, $3,000, $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 regardless. I'm going to spend that with you even outside. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not finna go to Magic City or a strip club and throw $20,000 and my homie need a G. $1,500 in my face right now. And I'm like, shit, I'm finna. Cause you know what I do? I might still throw 18, but I'm gonna make sure that 15 came to him or that 2,000 came to him. Like, huh, take this game. But if I see you throw it,
you can't get that shit again. Yeah, you can't get this shit again.
You playing. You playing. And I put niggas in positions like that on purpose. I may bring you around something to see what you do with your bread, knowing that you know you can't do this. Just to see if you're gonna play with your own life. You know what I'm saying? It's a science. You just gotta read. Keep going through the motions and figure out who for you and what's around you, and when it gets to these certain levels, these major levels, what decisions is they gonna really be able to make in those critical positions. You gotta know a person. You gotta know, like, if I bring him, he gonna really do this. If I bring her, she gonna really do this. So just learning.
I feel like when I was coming up, bro, like I felt like I was making so much money and I was trying to help everybody. Like, damn, like, all right, money flowing, so shit.
Biggest,
what you trying to do? Thing. Shit, all right, bet here. Go ahead and start it. Thinking they got the same type of hustle I got, and they gonna go make it happen, but
they wouldn't. But that's the first step of failures when it comes to niggas like us, because thinking somebody got the hustle that you have to give something to. Any nigga with hustle, you ain't gotta give them shit.
For real, yeah.
They gonna look just like you. They gonna be out here. You gonna see them niggas. You know what I'm saying? Every nigga I know the real hustle. You're going to bump across them once. We bumped across each other. We know each other outside of all this. You know why? I know what fool got going on some type of way. He moving. Some type of motion. You know what I'm saying? So
you don't remember before I got locked up. We used to hoop at LA Fitness. And then my cousin telling me about the nigga. Like, man, yeah, that nigga Barbie, bro. He got them on Instagram popping the shit. But you weren't doing that before. I got locked up in 17. And then when I got out, like, damn, I do remember this nigga. This nigga really popping his shit, boy.
Yeah, that's crazy. You got locked up in 17. I had just went viral in 17. But, like, 15, 16 is when I started popping it for real. Like, I'm really 10 years, decade in, really consistently doing what I've been doing. Like, but again, like, I got so much growing to do, bro. I got real levels that I'm trying to get to now. Like, it ain't even personal. It's more like, I'm 30, bro. I came outside when I was 17, 16 years old trying to figure it out. I started making money at 19 going into 2021, and I started seeing kind of playing with six figures at 23 all the way into now. So, like, I didn't actually really see an M, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, it ain't come how I want it to come.
It ain't never going to do that.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, my brain now is like, we finna transition everything. If I had the same, all that energy I put into that, I would've put into these things. Again, it come with growth, but if I would've put into these other things, bro, I'd be somewhat put up, like overly put up, you know what I'm saying? Like, private island type shit. Like, I don't even wanna be, you know, they say it's lonely at the top. That's cool.
That's cool.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. Cause, hey, all I want is my bread and my plane. I don't want nothing else.
Because it comes with so much bullshit in between.
Man, give me a jet and give me a B. You will never hear from me again, ever. I'm gone. I'll rent Airbnbs all day if I got to. I don't even want no. If I touch $1 billion, I'm buying a jet, bro. I'm not playing. No, I don't want no houses. I don't want none of that. I don't want none that can station me somewhere. Nothing.
Why? Like,
for what? For what? I'm having bread. I can buy anything I want. My money is now making money, so much money that I have to spend this type of money because I'm investing into these portfolios. I'm moving with my money. Move with your bread and plant seeds and keep moving. If I make that much money, ain't nobody gonna be able to pull up on me. Like, you gonna have to meet me in the air. I'm out of here. For real. Meet me in the air. I'm gone.
Boy. You be talking shit, but you smart as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
That's why I asked, did you go to college? Nigga said osmosis. I'm like, ain't no street nigga use osmosis, nigga.
Yeah, for real.
Being at the top, though, like, being at the top and being the go-to guy, like, do you ever get tired of that? Like, one day,
every
like,
day, bro. Every day, but you gotta separate yourself, bro. And then, to be honest with you, I feel like, and I don't mean to talk about race, but I feel like as black men, we take on that. Like, we take on that macho strength that I'm going to carry the legacy, I'm going to carry the whole collie, the whole clan, and do this and that because we territorial and we want to feel like this when a lot of times we be broken. How you move in a colony with broken legs and ankles? You're crawling at this point. And for the people who see you crawling, and if they don't say take a break, they don't really give a fuck about you. You got to start using your logic, bro. You got to really start sitting down and being like, you know what? I know that I'm broken, and y'all know that I'm broken, but y'all still allow me to carry us on. Instead of saying to yourself, we can all take a break. It ain't hard to just stop. Just chill. Life gonna keep going. That's cool. But guess what? If we chill, build up the energy, then let's keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, bro, they don't really be caring. And once you start to realize, it's gonna take you a minute. It took me a minute to realize, like, damn, them motherfuckers really don't care. I thought they did. Them people don't care about me for real because I'm really fucked up. I'm spending I've been broke multiple times. Like, I'm not no capping ass nigga. I done had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. I done sat down before and seen $1.3 million, like my own real money. So, like, and I'm not no multimillionaire, none of that shit. I done went down to my last $1,000 and got, like, I done went from 500-700 racks and went down to a G. Like, this ain't it.
Shit hurt.
Hell yeah.
It hurt
all the time. But guess what? When you're not really connected to the bread as much, it teach you things. And I'm going to be honest with you, that when you go down that low and you start to reevaluate everything that you did, it just constantly better you every time, every process. Because when you start to touch it at a certain level, you're like, see me, I go broke off knowledge. Some niggas go broke off popping it and really like, it's two different type of going brokes. You know what I'm saying? Niggas never knew, like, my broke is not really the broke.
Right.
My broke is like, this is like the down part of the roller coaster.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You think I'm going broke, my nigga, I'm not going broke. This ride is finna shoot up higher than it did last time. You just thought at that moment that it was a low moment for me because you're watching my life too hard. My nigga, I'm actually studying. My study is me trying to figure out, okay, why didn't I bounce this high last time on the trampoline? Let me spend some more money real quick. Let me buy these shoes and figure out why. Okay, I'm finna jump past all these niggas real quick. Hold on. Let me buy those too. Like, that's what I go broke for. I go broke on knowledge. So when I sit back and my lifestyle is everything I ever wanted in my life, cars, clothes, fam, everybody is situated. My next go up is like, I'm out of here. I've set the foundation. I'm gone. It's over with.
How many kids you got?
I got two sons. Virgo boys, man. My boy's birthday. My birthday this weekend. This probably gonna be out, so my birthday. Y'all make sure y'all tell me happy birthday, man. My son's birthday.
Birthday what? Sunday?
My birthday the 24th. Yeah, August 24th. My son's birthday on the 28th too.
We're gonna drop this on Monday.
Facts. So tell me happy birthday, man, ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday to your boy Big True, man. All love.
When you started let me ask you this first. You started getting money at 19, you're 30 now. At what point in between that you feel like you became a man? Like, cause you touching paper at a young age, like you think, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I became the man?
No, a man.
A man? I think once I completely stopped asking anybody for anything, like, one, I was 17, I was out the crib, I wouldn't ask my mom and my father for nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't doing none of that. But like, once I start managing my own bills at a pace that I'm like, hold on, I start looking around other people, grown adults, that start looking at me like, nah, you out here kind of doing a little different. I'm like, oh, for real? Then when I went broke, then I got it again. I'm like, all right, I can do that. Then I went broke again. Then I got it again. I'm like, I'm used to that. I started just building. That's when I feel like by the time I was 24, 25, I'm a real man at this point. Like, I didn't felt the pain that most people. Once you lose six figures, my nigga.
That's some pain.
You lay in that bed dolo. You know what I'm saying? You got to take that pain dolo to the chin. And then being in and out of jail, lawyers, women, it's just everything. And then you see everything crash. I think what makes you a man is watching the floor. Getting to the concrete, being able to be in the crevice of the concrete and being able to crawl out that motherfucking
being at your lowest and getting up out that motherfucker.
That make you a man. All that other feminine shit, all that who gave you this, what you got, this and that, this nigga put you on. You ain't no man to me. Like, men is in the ground, bro. Like, we on concrete level. Like, that's how I live. I'm a barbarian, bro. Like, in my life, even when I'm talking to my sons, I get on them about a bunch of shit, but I get on them and I tell them like, look, you made a decision. Consequences come with every decision. Even when I get on their ass, I whoop their ass. I'm, hey, you made a decision, right? Yeah. Okay. So you know what come with that, right? Yeah. So you ready to handle that, right? Yeah. Say less. Like, that's what I'm raising my kids as just right now. At this point, them niggas get in trouble all the time. But guess what they do? They say in their back of their mind, shit, this shit worth it. Long as you willing to take that decision and see it through, do what you want to do. That's what make you a man, bro. Getting it out the mud.
I feel like prison made me a man, bro.
Jail will make you a man.
For sure.
A lot of people don't understand that. Prison and like, see me, I'm graceful, bro. I never had to do prison time. I always beat my cases. Shout out my lawyers. All of them.
For real.
But I've been in jail, locked down with no bonds for spurts amount of time. 6 months, get out, 6 months again. 4 months, get out, 3 months, back 1 month, 6 months. Like, you know what I'm saying? At times. So it accumulated. But I think that Once you in there after 90 days, 120 days, and you get to look at yourself in them dark rooms, that change you. And you begin to understand your psyche. Like, when I'm talking to you and we talking at this, even at this level, I know what type of guy you is just off the simple fact of the conversation, because we almost could have been cellies at one point. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it goes that deep, and people don't really be knowing what happens behind the wall of prison or jail when you have to be with a person in a cell, or you have to talk to yourself and become your own friend.
Man.
It's a different level. I know. Trust me. I know.
Damn, boy. Yeah, that was like my lowest point, bro, and shit.
Was it your lowest point, though?
I think it was, bro. I think it was one of, because my mom passed away. Niggas
my brother
switching
passed
up on
away.
Me.
My brother, my grandmother, bro, I got out of jail. My little brother and my grandmother died same month.
Am I recently?
Nah, I had another little brother that passed. They got killed.
Damn.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, he got killed. And that shit is not like a thing that go away. Then my other little brother just passed. So I got five little brothers. So you got to think, two of them gone. And those was like real muscle. Like, they was real muscle. Like, to a point where I didn't even have to be muscle, because them little niggas is pushing.
Yeah.
So I just like the fact that I didn't never really have to be muscle. I was always could be like, I'm brains.
Yeah, I love to be brain, boy.
I love to be brain.
Love to be brain.
I don't like to be muscle no more. You know what I'm saying? Because if I gotta be muscle, I'm really gonna be muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't like doing it. I like the fact that my little brothers and them was like pushing. Like, so losing them too was like unbearable. It's still unbearable.
Nothing you can do, nigga. You in that bitch by yourself, nigga.
Oh nah. It's a numbness, bro. It's a numbness that niggas you can never hide. That shit make you zero out. You lose little brothers that you raised and you was close with, and you had a bunch of shit going on. It's like, it zero you out for real. Mm-hmm. Like, they zero you out. Like, and I'm already was a zero type of nigga.
Mm.
It take you below the floor. Like, look, bro, if I ever have to turn into that person, it's like, that ain't what we, again, I'm not the toughest nigga never, but it just make you realize you want your peace more than anything. So you be around people who just more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
They be like, you ain't on that. Cause I was back in Chicago and I felt the way I felt, I'd probably be in jail.
Then again, too, you surrounded by them type of niggas too.
Yeah.
Everybody ready to crash. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, them niggas be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Them niggas be for real, bro. And you my little brothers. I got two my little brothers. They like that. But I try to guide them. Like, hey, look, bro, we ain't on that. We ain't gotta be like that. My little brother called me the other day, balled up in tears. What's wrong? Man, I'm just going through it. But my thinking about, I'm like, shorty, dead of time, bro. Dead of time, bro. Cause then you get me on that, and then I'm on that, and now you on that, and now it was the blind leading the blind, and now we on some shit that we have no business being on for nothing. Cause what that's gonna do? That ain't gonna do nothing, bro. That ain't gonna do nothing. But bring more tears. Tears bring more tears. Know that.
How did your brother pass, bro?
Which one?
Recently.
Larari. He passed off a motorcycle. I'll never forget it, of course. Like, shorty was a speed demon. Like, he loved them bikes. I love fast cars. He liked fast bikes. He just was. He just wasn't, and he loved the adrenaline from the bike. Yeah. And I think this day he had just left my restaurant, like the day before that, and he was popping out to a baby shower with some of our friends, whatever the case may be. And then I don't know if they was really drinking or whatever, because I seen him with a little cup in his hand type shit. But, you know, my little brother is a strong person. He's more mental like us too, so he can control his liquor. He ain't really no drunk nigga. He don't do drugs. He don't do none of that shit. So I guess it was, niggas was drinking a little bit, and he was trying to get back to the crib riding his bike. But my other little brother was trailing him. And my little brother changed his life around. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. Like, my little brother was finding God, bro. So, like, yeah. We had built our relationship back properly, and, like, we started rocking super, super hard, and he was really following a certain path, just taking a day at a time. And then my other little brother was following him, and he said that he shot past him so fast on the bike, it scared him. Like, oh, shit, nigga, you moving too fast. Like, my little brother's just in his own world. That's just him, though. He get in his own pocket, in his own bag, and he get to just doing him. And then he said he was moving, so he was doing, man, I think like 130. And he was moving fast, and he said, my little brother said that he couldn't catch him. He said he got off the E-way on the wrong exit. He said when he got off the E-Way, he was coming back up on Fulton Industrial, and he was coming up, and he was just like, he had seen the cars, whatever the case may be, type shit. And he called me, because he just already like kind of like felt that shit, kind of knew. And it's crazy, because I woke up out of my sleep out of nowhere, like, what the fuck, I feel funny as hell, what the fuck? Got up, and my phone was ringing. And I picked up the phone, he like, yo, bro, woo. Like, what? Jump in the car type shit. He talking to him. I mean, you can see him. He like, yeah, he ain't got his helmet off type shit. I'm like, what? Like, he breathing, bro. He breathing. What the fuck do you mean he breathing? What you trying to say to me? My little brother, younger than me, like, he's still in shock too. I'm peeping. Mm-hmm. I'm catching. I'm trying to piece it. But as an older brother, I'm logical more, so I can kind of piece a storyline and draw my own illusion. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, what? I jump in the car. I'm doing like, bro, I'm probably doing like 130. No seatbelt, no shit. I'm like, what, nigga? Like, bro, the bike way on the other side of the fucking expressway, bro. Bro on the floor. They on the way, bro. The MLMs, the cars, da-da-da-da-da. I'm just like, yo. Everything at that point felt like the Matrix. Like, it was like, it's like somebody was driving the car for me. I didn't really feel anything. I'm zeroing out because one thing for sure, I felt this feeling before.
Yeah.
Because I lost a little brother before this, so I felt this feeling. And like, when you so close to your family and you have a spiritual connection with your family, when the spirit leaves, you feel it for real. When you really close to your people, your peers, you know what I'm saying? So I'm riding. Finally, the traffic's so backed up off the E-Way, traffic jam. That does nothing for me. I go on the other side of the street. Police riding cars, honking horns. I'm on the side rail. What the fuck is going on? Like, I jump out. I see them lifting them up in the MLMs on the little stretch bed, whatever, and they putting them in. So I try to run up. Police grab me. No, don't move. Imagine my background fucked up still, kind of, so I'm not trying to overly go to jail and not know the consequences. So, boom. I'm motherfucking looking. Now, when I'm looking, I'm asking my other little brother, like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, what happened? So he telling me everything, running it down to me. And I'm looking. I'm just like, steady looking. I'm like, yo, this ain't feeling right. I know this feeling. Like, I know this feeling. Like, I still feel that shit now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know this feeling, bro. So I'm looking. They put him in the truck. I try to move a police officer out the way. He grabbed me. I'm like, yo, bro, like, this my real brother. Like, I gotta see him. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't see him, I'm finna literally go crazy out here, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? But y'all trying to save him. I gotta just let me lay eyes on him, because now that he got the helmet off, let me lay eyes on my brother. Like, if I can't lay eyes on him, bro, I'm finna lose it. Like, right here today, like, you might not even be here today, bro. I might pop you. I don't know what I'm finna do, bro. Like, my mind not even in the right space, bro. Let me see him. So he held me and he pulled me in a position where I can look through, and I seen my little brother moving. So I'm like, okay, he breathing. Like, bet. They start up the MLMs, whatever the case may be. They jumped on the other side of the expressway, went through the grass, went up. Now I'm behind him. Drive my little brother with me. I'm telling him, tell me the story again. He's steady telling me, but I'm just playing in my brain. I'm telling him, but I'm watching as I'm driving. I'm recording too. I'm recording because I can see, because I want to be able to show my mother this, because this is happening at like 5-4 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to record while driving fast as a motherfucker. Because I see them, got the heart monitors on them, trying to revive them, trying to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm driving, I'm looking, I'm like, he moving. I can see him. He got a pulse. He got a pulse. That's what we praying for. He got a pulse. So we getting closer to Grady. We get closer to Grady. Boom. Now I'm running lights and everything. Whatever they running, I'm running. There ain't nothing to talk about. I'm running that shit. We get there. I park the car, jump out. I run to the part where they back the ambulance in, where they take him inside the hospital. When they took him out the ambulance, I dead ass just felt empty as fuck. Like, I'm like, looking. As I'm recording too, like, my little brother talking, trying to, I'm looking, but the way they had him positioned, I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And I just felt empty, like, oh, hell no. Like, I knew it was coming now. I'm like, nah. I know this feeling. When you lose a brother that come out the same internal wound, it's like a spiritual world or some shit. Like, it's like one of those things, like when you, we all grew up in the womb of my mother because we all come from her. So when you lose something that came from that same world that you don't even understand, you can feel the disconnect from the reality world and like the spiritual world in real life, you know what I'm saying, under that same act. So when he got out the car, when they let him out the ambulance, so on the bed, his body position was just not right, and I felt the disconnect. I felt that shit, and I've been around death, and I've seen death, and I've been around a lot of shit, so like I understand the disconnect, you know what I'm saying. When I felt that disconnect, I'm like, oh no. Nah. I'm like, oh hell no. Nah. Oh, hell no. Walk in the hospital, get registered. Oh, yeah, can we see him? He going out of surgery. We sat there for like 2-3 hours. Everybody calling, everybody talking, whatever the case may be. Doctor come out. She tell my other little brothers first, because I'm on the phone with my mother. She tell my baby brothers. I don't even know why she even did that first. She should have waited till I got there. She told my other little brothers first. When you lose something so valuable, it's a distinctive cry. You know what I'm saying? That only a person that comes from trauma can recognize. When I heard my little brother cry, I knew the results. You know what I'm saying? It's a mourn that's so deeply sounded that you just like, oh shit. So now I'm walking back there, because now in my mind, like, I gotta be strong as fuck right now. Like, I know what's, I know the news. At this point, I'm not even here for the news. I'm here to just, at this point, like, I need to see him. I need to see my brother, bro. Like, y'all not letting me see my brother, dead or alive, whatever he is. Y'all not letting me see my brother, bro. Like, I'm finna fuck this hospital up if I don't see my brother, bro. Like, y'all not finna play with me and tell me y'all my brother didn't make it and I can't see him not make it. Like, I don't wanna, I'm not that, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of the dead. Like, none of that. Like, I need to see my brother. So they like, all right, just give us a minute, calm down. Everybody coming, we going crazy. They finally get us like, all right, who's the actual brothers and who's the family? Cause people start pulling up, whatever the case is. So they got me, my other little brother, They're like, y'all ready? Like, yeah, come on. They put us in the room. Imagine, they don't supposed to let the door back. They supposed to just let you see through the glass, through the blinds. That's how Grady got it set up. We like, yo, y'all not finna. I'm like, again, like, I'm connected to my brother. So it's like, what y'all saying? We got to look at him through a glass? Not happening either. I'm finna fuck with you. I'm telling them, like, dead ass, like, go get the police. I'm going to jail today because I'm finna fuck somebody up in here if they don't open this door. So one of the ladies seen it in me, like, nah. She was a big dog, I guess, at Grace. She's like, open the door. Like, let these people see their brother. This is their brother in real life. Like, you don't want, they're not even from Atlanta. They're from Chicago. Like, they got a whole different, like, lifestyle. Like, let them see their brother. So the lady was like, we can't supposed to, like, let these people see their brother. Like, don't worry, blame it on me type shit. She felt it. They opened the door. I went inside. My brother was laying there. Like, when I seen that shit, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm empathic a little bit, bro. So, you know what I'm saying? I walk up on him and I'm like, I'm really feeling my brother's presence, like, in the room with us. Like, Dolo, like me, my two little brothers, they crying, bawled out, crying. I'm in that motherfucker like, yo, bro, my brother not even dead right now. Like, his presence and spirit so strong, bro, that like, he and this motherfucker with me, bro. Like, he in it with us. Like, y'all gotta feel this nigga. Like, am I the only one feeling him? And I'm asking my other brothers, like, y'all don't feel him? They like, yeah, we feel him. Like, I get up close on him. Like, this close, like, yo, bro, what's up? Like, bro, you don't tell me you just did that. Like, what was you going through, bro? Where you couldn't talk to me about it? Like, did you really just, my brother strong as hell. I'm strong as hell. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I'm really up on him though. Like, he's gone in the physical form, but in the spiritual form, I'm feeling him on me. Like, he can respond in a way. I'm really on him. Like, yo, bro, like, don't give it to me like this, bro. Like, do not give it to me like this. Don't give it to me like this, bro. And then I'm sitting there and they trying to get me out. I'm like, y'all just got to give me some time to really, like, talk to him. Like, I need to physically feel my brother, bro. Like, y'all not, I'm not leaving. I'm not, if y'all take him, wherever he's going, I'm going. I'm telling y'all now, unless I end up leaving cuffs. That's the only way. I'm only way I'm leaving the hospital is in cuffs. So if y'all don't want to take me to jail and y'all know what I'm going through, I need to feel my brother, bro. Just let me be real quick. I need to feel this. Like, cause this is something that y'all all would know that's going to happen to y'all too, family members or not. So y'all should understand. So boom. I'm there for a little while. So they like, you can't touch him. Can't touch him. This is my motherfucking little brother, bro. What you mean? Nigga, I'm finna take this nigga with me, bro. Is you slow? Like, I'm finna grab this nigga, bro. What? I can't touch my own blood, nigga? Yo, bro, y'all crazy. I kissed that nigga. Grabbed him. Held his head. Touched him. You can't surge it. Yo, bro, I don't care. Now, at this point, I'm knowing that y'all not really finna do nothing to me. So now I'm really going to measures. I'm kissing him. Rubbing his head. Talking to him in his ear. Like, I'm really on that. Like, this is my little brother's. I know this finna be there, and like, the last time I'm really finna see you. Because when I leave out this hospital, they finna put you in a bag, and they finna put you in a situation. They finna morgue you. I gotta experience all this in the flesh of the blood and everything. I need to be in it, bro. I'm that type of nigga, though. I like the grounds of shit. I don't like all that, like, I may fuck with the high lifestyle shit, but the real me is, like, I like the mud, bro. I like the dirt. I like the ground, the grit. So, like, they're like, all right, y'all done. I'm like, all right, cool. We leave out my little brothers and them just fall out. Because now that it really hit them. Like, oh, shit. He ain't coming with us. Nah, he ain't coming with us, bro. We still in the reality. He going somewhere else. You dig what I'm saying? So, that really, when I seen their reaction after we left out the room, that's when it hit me more in the reality world of tears. Like, oh shit, my little brother's really fucked up. They so fucked up that they didn't realize that once we leave this room right now, he ain't coming with us. They so used to the brothers coming. We brothers, like, you know, so they tears, bro. I just broke down. We all broke down. We left out. My mother on the other phone, she way in Chicago. It was just a bunch of shit, bro. It was just a pain and a grief that you just can't take. Then I get to the crib. I take all his stuff, his helmet, his bloody helmet, his pants he passed in, his bloody pants, his phones. I get all the shit that he passed away in. I take it and I put it in my kitchen, in my condo, and I'm just sitting there and I'm just embracing it, bro. I think that's what kind of helped me a little bit, like, even through the passing of my brother. Like, I'm barbaric. Like, my nigga, like, I'm one of them niggas, bro, like, for real. And I don't want to sound crazy on your show or nothing, but, like, it's my brother. It's my blood, gang. I need to smell his blood. I need to rub that shit on my face. I gotta feel that shit, bro. Like, mentally, like, I took his helmet, bro. I rubbed his helmet, his pants he died in. I still got him right now on his grave. I still got him right now. I go rub the blood on that shit. Like, got his ashes. Nigga, I'm putting it in a piece. I'm putting it on my neck. But I'm swallowing ashes, gang. Like, I'm on that. Like, nigga, this my family, bro. The love for your family and your brothers, bro, is so deep. Like, I'm on some shit, like, for real. Like, I told my mother, like, yo, when I get where I'm going and I'm doing all that, man, look, I'm swallowing ashes, bro. Like, for real. Nigga, this is my blood, bro. We blood, gang. We share the same shit. So I just put this shit up. And then I had to lay down. I got tired as fuck. I was so dry, I laid down. Like, it felt like someone was like, put me to sleep. Like, all right, you got too many questions. Go to sleep. I laid down. I made sure all my brothers, everybody was gone. I was in my condo by myself. They didn't see me do none of this. I laid down. When I went to sleep, I felt like I jumped in a coma, and I like, he came and hollered at me. Like, out of body experience, he came and hollered at me like, yo, you mad at the wrong shit. I slick stopped fighting, Brody. Like, I made the decision to leave. I was stressed out. I was this, I was that. Like, it just all made fucking sense, bro. And I was so mad at the nigga, like, in my dream, I swear to God, it's on his grave. It's on both of my brothers' graves. It's on my life. I'm in my dream and I'm chopping it with him, like, that nigga, what the fuck? You did what? Now I'm like, you bitch ass, you, I'm going crazy. Like, in my dream, like, what? We not even that weak of a person. Like, what you talking about, bro? Like, you gave your life. Like, you gave your life. You didn't even fight. Like, he like, yeah, bro, I was going through a lot. Like, he was telling me a bunch of shit that I didn't really pay attention to because we big dogs, right? Out the picture. It all made sense. And when I woke up, I wiped my tears away and I'm like, I can't be mad at nobody but him. Like, but him. Like, nigga, I can't believe you. So even days I sit back, I be out the way, I catch a sharp pain in my stomach. Like, hey, this nigga just left me out here like this. Mm-hmm. Like, then my other brother got killed, so that's different. But like, my little Rory made that decision and I felt that shit. Like, and he told me that. So I had closure. Like, I was mad as fuck, and I still tell him to the day, you hoe-ass nigga, you bitch-ass nigga, I hate you, nigga. Like, fuck is wrong with you? Left me in this world. Dolo, he like, but then I see why he grieved for his little brother, which is my little brother too, but he grieved for him too. Like, he felt that way about Keese. Like, my other little brother on my hand, he like, that nigga left me here. This shit ain't talking about nothing. Especially when you going through shit, you fucked up, you mentally, you done shit in your life, you done probably smoked, nigga. This shit ain't, reality ain't talking about nothing. You just, but then it showed me like, yo, bro, some people be afraid of death. And for you to just face on, be like, yeah, take me, I'm ready. Like, that's strength. You know what I'm saying? So it just was a lot of different thoughts that I thought about in that mode. And I was like, I just had to really just like, face to what it is. Every day is still day at a time. I still like slick get emotional behind that shit, but he left me like a different layer of armor, bro. And I think that personally changed, like getting back to the conversation, the study of what you're saying, like what changed you and certain shit, like it be those moments that you don't realize that you never gonna be the same ever again. Because when somebody take, when you have nothing left to give and you zeroed out of feelings, it's like anything can happen.
Yeah.
That's how them little niggas feel in the streets. I got nothing to live for. Nigga, I don't give a fuck about your life, bro. I'll smoke you right here, bro. I don't care, bro. I can die today. I won't give a... It's people out here really thinking like that, bro, because they have nothing to live for. And when you start to get to that level, that's when it's scary. That's when you got to really start looking in the mirror and start loving yourself. And start just like telling yourself, like, it has to be a reason why I ain't leaving. You gotta start questioning that, like, why I ain't left? I done slid on a million niggas, or they done slid on a million niggas, and niggas done shot, popped, you done this, that, girls. I'm like, why you still blessed and why you still ain't locked up or you ain't in the grave? Because you got a purpose. You gotta live by your purpose. You gotta start focusing on your purpose. So I feel like that shit changed you. Like, in general, everything, your lowest times gonna change you. Like, go through the lowest moments, because that shit make you a Spartan. And that's what I call myself these days. Like, I'm like, bro, look, bro, you can do anything to me, bro. Like, I'm gonna take that shit on the chin, bro, because I know how it feel to be low. You've been to prison. That's the change. Like, mm-hmm. you like, prison changed me. You like, I was at my lowest. Was you really at your lowest? That's why we. That's how the mm-hmm. conversation started. Was mm-hmm. you really at your lowest? You wasn't at your lowest, bro. You was the beginning of your new journey to becoming your highest peak. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at that shit. When you mm-hmm. that low and you feel nothing no more, you got nobody to turn to, and you mm-hmm. in that by yourself in that cage, you trying to figure it out, and you politicking with people with all type of different demons and spirits on them, and you trying to stay mentally contained and push-ups and workouts and reading books and studying 40 Laws of Power and Rich Dad, Poor Dads and mm-hmm. all these different things to come out. It turns you into who you is today. That's why we sitting right here. If you never went through jail, bro, you probably wouldn't even be right here right now.
Hell no.
That's real. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't your lowest. That was your most purest piece, your most purest time to be able to look in the mirror Damn. And find light within triple darkness. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing, Brody.
Damn, bro. That was some real ass shit, boy.
For real.
Damn, bro.
It's real life. And I want people to know that I'm a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at all the likes and the followers and the jewelry and, man, I'll get this shit away tomorrow, gang. I'll sell this shit tomorrow. I'm telling you. And go do it all over again.
Let me ask you this, though. Like, when you got to be the strongest person.
That's mental for you, bro. Stop thinking like that, bro. You ain't got to be the strongest, bro. One of my partners right here in the room, he the day my brother passed away, bro, my own partner, this no bap, he ain't have a super strong relationship with my brother. He started crying first. It fucked me up. If I swear to God, I still remember this shit. It fucked me up. He started crying first. I'm like, because he felt me so deeply. My nigga, I was like, oh. And then I started crying because I was trying to be strong on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me right then and there like, nah, okay. Fuck all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this real. So even when you saying when you feel like you the strongest, bro, you ain't gotta be the strongest, bro. Just be you. Max what you max. Bench what you bench. Your mind is strong, but sometimes your physical ain't as strong, bro. Like your heart, you know what they say with men like us, bro. You know, we don't never die with violence. We die with strokes. It's a study. Like, I'm into psychology heavy. Like, I'm into a lot of different things, and I study a lot, bro. Like, I read a lot. But I don't tell people I read a lot. Men like us, we don't die from gunshots. We don't die from, like, mostly car accidents. We don't die from none of that. We literally die of stroke because we don't really know how to. We become so much of a logic that when our heart has a reaction that we're not used to,
damn,
it becomes a cardiac. So we really die of stress. Damn. And we die from strokes.
Damn.
That's deep, right?
Deep as fuck.
It's real. And you will feel that way because you're so strong, but your heart is so weak because you're steady practicing on your mental and not practicing on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start training your heart to become like a little bit selfish. Got to start training your heart to be like, know when to be cut on, when to be cut off. Because when that time do happen and all odds are against you and you're on your lowest point, your heart will damn near give out and you wouldn't know how to revive it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people die of strokes. You don't know how to control your own heart pace. Mm. You just out of whack. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So be aware of that, bro. Mm-hmm. Be aware that you're a strong dude and I'm a strong dude and we're very logical, smart men. So we're not really going to die in a situation that we could think our way out of.
Yeah.
What's one way we can leave our heart? So be aware of that, for real. Be aware of that.
God damn. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that the whole family leaning on you for like support, mental support,
yeah,
emotional support.
Yeah.
But who do you lean on? Like, who was the person that you was able to goddamn go?
Amen. That's what I tell my family today. I'm doing all this for what? If ain't nobody, I got nobody to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out here free floating. Like,
that's the fucked up part about it. Like, nigga doing all this shit. I'm showing all this love, but goddamn, when the shit get real, like, man, who the fuck do I go to?
So let me tell you the real, bro. Again, it get lonely at the top, right? our biggest friends is going to be our companies, bro, and our businesses. Stop looking for a handout or somebody, a person to give you something. Mm. And look for your system that you place to give you everything that you desire. I stop. When I want something, I don't even think about a human being no more. I think about the template that I built. Like, I start saying to myself, like, my bills too, bro, this no cap. I'm saying this on the air right now. Like, my penthouse, $6,000 a month. My home's over here, like, $8,000 a month that I'm staying in with my child's mother and all the shit I got going over here, my kids, my little brothers, everybody. My restaurant, $7,000 a month. That's just waking up. That's $20,000. Listen, bro, we're not talking about no music. We're not talking about...
in between. That's the foundation.
Bro, that's sleep. Mm-hmm. And waking up. That's a dub. Who the fuck is going to take on that? Why? I had to tell myself, every time I looked at my partners, and I'm not downing them, never. Mm-hmm. I asked for this. You didn't.
Facts.
I can't even get mad at you for not being able to take on this leverage no more, bro. Mm-hmm. And be like, why you ain't doing this and why you, bro. No. Build your business, build your foundation, build a system, and let it pay for itself. It's going to take time. We got to slow it down. We got to be at a position where you got to, can't get instant results, bro. You can't go to the gym on a six pack tomorrow, bro. Mm-hmm. You got to build your system. You built this shit. I watched you build this shit from the ground up. Everybody did. Mm-hmm. I'm not no capper, bro.
Yeah.
Niggas watched you day in and day out build this shit from the ground up. From females to toxic conversations to drama to building the net worth to where you putting major people like me on platforms to speak our truths and talk about certain shit. Now you're promoting brands, companies. And it's probably still hard, my nigga, but you did something that the norm won't be able to do. So you got to pat yourself on the back, one. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody else going to pat that motherfucker.
Real shit.
And then two, you got to keep pushing. Because we're the type of men, we're never satisfied. So why are you even allowing yourself to be disappointed in anybody who ain't there for you when you know you want to a level that they're never going to? Come on, bro. You know that. Don't disappoint. You, at this point, you hurting yourself. Like, that's how I look at it. Like, you don't, I look at my people sometimes and be like, you want 100 million? They may be like, what? Never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Save the conversation for you, bro. Listen,
So you got to start getting around like-minded. Mm. Get around people who see how this conversation is. Got to get around that. And we got to start removing our egos and our prides. And being able to put, because I learned this with being different with a lot of different races too, doing business with other races. All that pride shit they be having, they ain't got that shit.
They ain't got that shit.
And you know what's so funny? All of us know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we still put it forefront. Like, bro, you know that we can work together. Why we don't put aside our pride? Them people be like, mission first.
Yeah, yeah.
And once I start thinking mission first, all the feelings that come with it, you so heartless, you don't give a fuck, you're mean, you did it out. Yo, bro.
Oh, well, nigga.
Accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that type of dude. We going here, what's the mission? Shoot them, kill them, move this, trap that, do that, army. Accomplished. I don't know who was the people, I don't know. Mm. That ain't my duty, that ain't my job. I'm here to handle business. I'm presidential type. I don't care who have to go, who have to stay, who have to pay taxes, who don't. Decision getting made, I'm signing the paperwork. Mission complete. You got to be like that when you're trying to go to our levels, because mm-hmm. those are the people who are controlling the levels. Mm-hmm. When you think that high, look at the people.
Real shit.
Look at everybody. So I even told this to my partner yesterday. I'm like, yo, bro, imagine you being a CEO of a company. Like, yeah, I like that. Soon as he said that he wanted to be a CEO, I immediately said, damn, that's what me and you gonna cut off at. Like, I ain't telling him this though. Mm-hmm. He's like, bro, I'm gonna be a CEO. Like, cool. I'm trying to be a revolutionary. It's a completely different ballgame. Mm. Elon Musk is a revolutionary. Jeff Bezos, them revolutionaries. Like, them niggas who change the shift of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
They change the world, gang. They don't change... Like, they don't make money and change their family and their generations. They change. These people are changing the world. Like, whoa, Amazon Package Prime, like sitting on the phone, you can order anything from that joint. You change the world, bro. You change mailing. You change Uber. Y'all change taxis. Like, y'all change the world. Like, electric cars. You change the world, bro. You ain't just changed your family. Like, you changed the world. So when you trying to become a revolutionary and leave a certain type of legacy, you already alone. You just don't know you alone.
Yeah.
Can't be mad at that, bro.
That nigga said, this is where we stop at, nigga. You gonna stop at CEO, I'ma just keep.
Oh, yeah. You a CEO. We been CEOs.
Yeah.
We just didn't have the money. You know what I'm saying? We been leaders. That's what CEO, CEO ain't shit but a leader with some money that can see shit through. We been seeing that because that's how we got here. So it's like, we got to be revolutionary, bro. We got to be able to change the world. I'm trying to change the shift of the world. Like, how can I not just make my family wealthy, my generations wealthy, but how can I leave something on earth that over exceeds past my life? Elon Musk go, Jeff Bezos go. They've changed the narrative of the world. Well, it's going to over exceed them into a revolutionary evolution of the earth, bro.
Real shit, generation after generation, nigga.
It's not even a generation.
Not even a generation.
Life's expansion.
Real shit. Not even a generation.
They changed the world.
Yeah. Like, you can't even go back.
You can't go back.
Real shit. You're right.
You got to look at that, bro. We got to be on that type of time. We got to link with those type of people and be in them type of rooms. And I have been blessed to have access to some of the type of rooms. That's why I'm even able to speak like this now. Because once you get a dose of it, it's kind of hard to go back.
Real shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Real shit.
People that's in low frequencies and low vibrations, they just got to get a dose of what we smoking and what we chilling on. And some going to get high and fall out. Some going to get high and be like, yo, we need that high. It's really how that go.
Bro, I think you need to showcase more of this shit, bro. Like, you too intelligent of a motherfucking nigga. Like, I know what people want to see on, because niggas ain't gonna really tap in. Like, if you just continuously, like, pouring this shit on niggas, niggas don't want to hear that shit. They want to see you counting bread. They want to see you flexing and shit. But it's way deeper than that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's marketing.
You get them folks surface level. You know what I'm saying? I don't even think they can even digest what the fuck you got going on,
bro. That's what I'm trying to tell you, bro. That's why I don't even do it.
Yeah.
I just be like, I be wondering, like, why do they be questioning how I do certain things? But I get why they question how I do certain things, because y'all don't really know who I really am.
Yeah,
but this is why, shout out the system, shout out my management team. This is why Lee and Shay, with this run that we're doing and the shit we got going on, they, like, speak more. Like, you don't really, we just see, you don't even be talking.
You don't be talking at all, bro. The first time I seen you talk was on Jay Hill shit. And I was like,
yeah. But it's like, it's levels. I talk with Jay Hill like that, and I'm talking to you like this, but we got a more personal relationship than me and Jay Hill. But, like, again, I just be in my own pocket. Some days I be in my mood, like, you know what, should I give him this part of me?
Yeah. What if you would have pulled up yesterday and you was on some whole other shit? You know what I mean? Like,
that's a fact, though.
You feel me?
We supposed to did this yesterday.
Yeah, it was meant to be today.
Yeah, it was meant. That's how it be, bro. Because look how that even changed your demographic, your thought process, how you think of me.
Yeah.
It should be like that, bro. You just never know what a person go through in their mind. You just, timing, bro. Timing.
Timing is everything.
Divine timing, bro. Yeah, man, this shit dope, bro.
Let me ask you one more question for you. How much do you spend on your music career? Not how much you spent, I won't say that, but like how much do you spend, like, In a quarter of a year. Like, how much are you investing in yourself?
Just looking at the numbers now that I do work, again, shout out the system, shout out my brother Lee and Shay. They in charge of all invoices. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm the one to sign off the invoices because I'm independent. But like, probably like 50. Mm-hmm. But that's like low because I have everything already as a label. We're not talking about, like, I built the studio, so I don't have to pay studio time. We got camera guys that, like, we operate with. So it's like every month with PR, with videographers, with fashion, with videos, with traveling, with all that, man, you get up there. like a dub a month, you'll get up there. So if you do a quarter, you're probably like 60, but that's just off moving as an industry independent mm-hmm. and already having the tools. If not, you'll probably be spending, like I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in my career.
They're gonna take that.
Yeah.
I just wanna say, bro, I think, like your manager said, bro, you gotta do more talking, bro. I think you'll connect way more with people, bro, just by, like, they need to hear you and feel you.
I just don't be, bro, I'm in a world now, it's like, I don't even really, like, it's weird, bro, because they like, and I shout, again, command to them boys, like, they dead ass. I've been on, I think, since they became my management in the last 2 months,
mm-hmm.
I've spoke more than I've ever spoke before, ever. On different platforms. Mm-hmm. I'm New York, D.C., here. Like, they just move me around. Like, L.A., yeah. this, that. Like, they're like, nah, bro, we going to talk. We going to get you on these people, like, platforms, and we going to talk. So they can really know outside of, like, first of all, your music, they think my music is hard, and they like everything mm-hmm. you're rapping about is real.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you're able to draw the line and tell the story with your music, it hits a little different when you know the person for real.
Yeah,
and I
yeah,
think a
yeah,
lot of people yeah. know a little part of True. A lot of people know a little part of Rari. So, like, Rari True is my artist name, but some people don't know Rari. Like, that's Rari. Like, you knew Rari.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really know True. Mm-hmm. Today, you're meeting True. You see what I'm saying? So, it's just, like, demographics. Like, mm-hmm. they're like, nah, but this how you talk. When you talk to people, they're going to get both sides. And they'll be able to see and be able to tell when you being Rari, because Rari more like, what we doing? Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. True more like, da-da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. And my fans, now that I'm starting to see, even with my music, some people like, yo, that shit was hard. Like, that's Rari. Like, that's True.
You're going to see the way I chop this motherfucker up. You're going to be like, boy, this going to do numbers, though.
I can believe that.
I'm going to make sure it do numbers just because, like, I don't know. Like, the shit that you were saying, bro, like, wouldn't it be expected from, like, when niggas look at you, bro, they see, I would say they see aggressive, just knowing you from playing basketball, you
correct.
Know what I'm saying? Like,
correct.
And just crossing paths. A nigga that ain't taking no shit, aggressive, and get money. I think that's where it draw the line. A nigga that make music.
What you think? That's the pocket.
And then you hang with this nigga. This nigga crazy. This nigga, you know what I'm saying? So y'all tag teaming and shit. So
they hate to see us.
And he knows some shit too, though. You know what I'm saying? I had a conversation with this nigga like,
coming.
You
they
feel me?
See us coming. Yeah, aggressive, straightforward, don't take no shit.
But you gotta be like that, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, any type of weakness you show, bro, like, niggas gonna take that and run with it. Like, this nigga, bro, I done seen this nigga slap multiple niggas on the court, and I believe, like, ain't no nigga finna just try this nigga no more, like, because he already showed and proved, like, bro, I'm not the one to play with, bro. And you the same way, like, I ain't never seen you hit a nigga, but I know you got that in you. You know what I'm saying? It just, oh, yeah. It's in your demeanor. Like,
oh, yeah.
Bro, don't fucking.
Yeah. But again, bro, we don't even be really want no problems because we just know how far we going to take it. So I don't really be on that, bro. Like, I be feeling like a lot of people be thinking, like, bro, fool, kind of sweet, maybe, like him. Bro, I be chilling, bro. I want to chill, gang. I don't even want them problems no more, bro. You got it, bro. You a tough guy, bro.
Especially when you start making money, bro. Nobody give a fuck about that shit no more, bro. I want to make some bread. I want to, like, start elevating the life.
I tell my homie this every day. Bro, we got to make some bread.
Real shit.
He like, I'm like, nah, gang.
We got to make some fucking
money. We players.
Yeah.
Like, we players. Like, don't ever lose your player card out here trying to think like we rock, like we players.
We players,
bro.
We players. We ain't gangsters, we ain't robbers. We
kicking it. Like, we ain't on that, bro. We trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my whole life now is about building, bro. How can I build? How can I build? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this on his platform. I did something in real estate recently, right, with the townhomes, whatever the case is. I learned a lot. Took a lot of bumps in the road. But I'm going to say this, like, I'm going to show y'all in the next 2 years what I built. Mark this down. This is 2024.
Mm-hmm.
We're in August, my birthday. In 2 years, I'm going to show y'all what I built in 2 years.
Nigga didn't say a year, 6 months, like 2 years. That's like a good foundation. Like, bro, okay, that's enough time to like put some shit together. Niggas think this shit might happen like, oh yeah, in 3 months, bro, we popping.
I told you that. Nigga want to go to the gym one day and get a six pack. They want instant results. Mm-hmm. I've been working on one of my projects, bro, for 3 years. Already.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't said nothing about it. Little digging, little here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on it 3 years.
But that's just like Chief Keef, nigga. Chief Keef ain't goddamn. I'm pretty sure that nigga been working on that shit for like 10 years, bro. Came out of nowhere and just dropped some heat. Sometimes they take that, bro. You just ain't no rush.
With no rush,
what the
bro.
Fuck is the rush?
Jay-Z said that. Mm-hmm. He like, I don't put a rush on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my life. So this shirt old because you said it's old.
Yeah.
How that work? Mm-hmm. Like my shoes old because they came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
How that work? When you start listening to those type of people and you start just finding like your common ground and your like common things that you have in common with those type of people. He's a Carter too. I'm a Carter. Mm. Wayne a Carter. Like I'm a Carter for real. So it's like I be sitting back studying.
What you mean Carter? Your last name?
Yeah, my last name Carter.
Oh word.
Yeah, shout out my manager too. That's sorry nigga. His last name Carter too. And he got it in his blood, man. It's in his blood. But you get stuff in common with people, bro, and you just kind of like shit stick. I know things that I probably said to you probably today gonna stick.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna sleep on it. You gonna start witnessing it. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Fool said that. It's just certain shit stick, you know? But time, bro. I'm glad we're talking about time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're talking about time. Be looking out, man. I'm glad we're talking about time. It's 2024.
2 years.
Document the time. Document the time.
I think I was having a conversation with myself like a couple of days ago. Like, I'm 35. By the age of 40, I ain't saying 36, 37, by the age of 40, I need to have this going on. I need this much on my portfolio. I need to have this established. I need to have this.
How does that work?
What's that?
I used to do that.
Talking to yourself?
Huh?
What you mean?
I used to do that. I just put a time limit on my portfolio.
I just...
I'm just being real with you, bro. It make you complete it because you put a time stamp. But you don't realize how much stress you put on yourself with creating that time stamp. Mm-hmm. I used to do that. I used to be like, by this, I'm going to have this. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to be in this. I'm going to try this. And I'm going to have this. And now you've internally planted a seed that you can't even see grow. Because every day is affecting your conscience. Everything you do now, because you're such a logical bro and you're such a driven hustler, you don't even realize that you're affecting the reality every day and bouncing off people. And people ain't fucking with you, and now it's motive driven, and now this, and now you so living in the future that you can't even live in reality type shit, fucking up relationships.
Oh man, damn.
Because you planted that seed internally.
So okay, what do you suggest then? Just put the goal out there. No time limit.
I just think that first things first, bro. Day at a time. One, take that shit day at a time. See it. Don't put an age on it, bro. That's how we die strokes.
Mm.
40. You like, I'm 35. When I'm 40, I'm going to see this. Everybody be doing it and then wonder why everybody's stressed out. It's kids out here saying, I just bought my 7-year-old son a phone. What the? Seven? Mm-hmm. He's seven, bro. Like, my 8-year-old got a phone. But I'm just like, he like, damn, when I turn 8, I got to get a phone. I'm like, damn, why? Like, now I got goals that I set. I told my partner today, I'm like, bro, I supposed to drop this next year. Something I'm working on. I told him that, I'm like, I ain't ready though.
Mm-hmm.
He like, no, bro. I'm like, I ain't ready, gang. I ain't ready. He like, for real? I'm like, yeah, gee, I ain't ready. I need it to be like, I got to put more love in it. I got to put more thoughts in it. I got to put more engineering in it before I just do that, because it got to be so big. It got to be so revolutionary that it take time. And then when I do my study on how long it took certain other people, I'm like, it took years and years and years. So why you think you're going to be able to do it at a faster pace of these people?
Mm-hmm.
Follow the chain of command, bro. Don't stop trying to change the wheel. Ride the wheel and get off when you're supposed to. Simple. Like, certain shit nowadays be so simple, bro. I swear to God, like, once I hit 30, everything just clicked like lights on. You question something that you already know the answers to. Simple. Like, oh man, I shouldn't have did. You know you shouldn't. Like, simple. Stop overly analyzing. It's a gift and a curse. And that's the most beautiful thing in the world, when it's something that's, you know, you can see both sides, because you're able to land right in the middle and be aligned. But don't put no time on that, bro. Don't do that. Just say, it's going to get accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get it done. I'm going to chase it. I'm going to walk it down.
I like that.
It feel better.
I like that.
You just feel better.
Mm-hmm. Ain't no pressure.
I'm gonna walk
it's gonna
down.
Get done. Though.
I'm gonna walk it down
for sure.
I'm gonna walk it down.
Ain't no pressure.
Walk it down.
We're gonna leave with that.
Yeah, it is.
We're gonna leave with that.
Yeah, it is.
Man, tell these niggas where they can find you. Where they can find your music at?
Y'all can find my music on all platforms and DSPs at Rari True. Y'all can find me on Instagram, TikTok, all this other stuff my managers got set up, man. At 44408. Y'all can find my music again, like I said, on all DSPs, Apple Music, Spotify, everything. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Ferrari True with a 3. On other platforms, it's strictly Rari True. And we finna get ready to drop this new EP called 444, Hot Like Wendy's. All F's, big dog shit, you know? So, yeah, over and out. Shout out my dog, man. It's up, Big True.
All right, man, we out, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Over and out. Love.